following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by Tommy John. Look, working from home used to be the fantasy of everybody, but turns out it's not always very comfortable unless you're wearing Tommy John.
Indeed. I've been working home for several years, and I didn't know what was missing until I found Tommy John, and now I'm hooked. It's all I buy. It's the best underwear you can imagine. Men, women, loungewear. Buy for your mom. It's not weird. Tommy John is awesome.
And now there's a Tommy John Memorial Day sale where you can get up to 30% off site-wide. So treat yourself, that's right, and upgrade to a few pairs of Tommy John underwear in the softest, most breathable fabrics you've ever worn. Shop the Memorial Day sale at TommyJohn.com and get up to 30% off site-wide with the code CLASSICS. That's CLASSICS, CLASSICS, for up to 30% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com. See site for details.
Stay cool this summer.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for May 23rd, 2020. The show where we play some of the best moments in the history of the Adam Corolla Show, the Adam Corolla Podcast. Over 11 years of podcasting, right here, right now. My name's Chris Loxamon, executive producer of the Adam Corolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody.
And hey, Gio, we got some great clips coming up, but first, I want to remind everybody to learn more about Geico's 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies at geico.com/giveback. That's where you go, geico.com/giveback. All right, let's get going with some clips. I'm really excited. I'm in Houston right now as you hear this, so hopefully
That's
I'm
crazy.
Still excited. I know.
My old home state.
I'm probably looking for Adam, who's gallivanting across the state, just enjoying going to restaurants, getting haircuts. He has an eyebrow wax already on the itinerary. So I'm sure we'll hear all about that and enjoy the live shows from Houston. We're doing a few of them. All right, but let's get going with some clips. This first one, it's a listener request. It's from Instagram. BenBen131134 wrote to us. And if anybody wants to request a clip, hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana, or you can email classics@adamcorolla.com. This case, it was Instagram. And Ben requested the Bean poem.
Yeah,
Michael. For the alliteration
Bean,
alone, right?
Yeah. Michael Bean on Adam Corolla 2369. Gina and Brian hosted the show, and Michael Bean appeared, and there was a reading of a certain poem, and it goes a little something like this.
Who's the roughneck marine who saved Ripley from the alien queen? You're damn right. Who is the guy who speaks Latin with Doc Holliday? Can you dig it? Who's the cat who traveled back and then became John Connor's dad?
Bing.
Right on. We spilled the same blood and the same.
Shut your mouth.
But I'm talking about Bean.
You can dig.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but Bald Brian.
Michael Bean.
Fantastic.
I gotta get a copy of that,
Who did that?
Fantastic.
I guess we're thanking Rich Banks for that.
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic.
Beautiful.
Hey, which
one
of you guys wrote that? Thank you.
Yeah.
It meant a lot to me.
I want a copy of that. Every time my wife gets mad at me, I can throw that on.
Yes.
It's my ringtone. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right, so we have just a friendly competition. And I think that we're all going to walk away winners. Maybe Kaylin a little bit less,
but
hopefully not. So this will be a gauntlet of Michael Bean trivia that will ultimately answer the question, who actually is Michael Bean's son? Will it be Bald? Will it be Bean? Let's find out. Dawson?
Round one is who knows Bean best. First question goes to Kaylin. Kaylin, in The Rock, Ed Harris asks Michael and his team to lay down their weapons and surrender. What line does Michael respond with?
I might be a little bit off here, but I'm going to go with, I cannot give that order.
We will accept that
answer.
We will
accept it.
You know I cannot give that order.
Wow, Brian, wow. All right, no, one point goes to Kalen.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
What does Doc Holliday say when he's kneeling over Johnny Ringo's dead body after he kills him?
His first season, he says, well, Johnny Ringo looks like someone just walked over your grave.
Think it out.
Kalen, do you know this?
I don't know this.
Yeah.
Michael, do you know
I
this?
I don't know the point.
None of us know this one.
We do not throw out questions just because say, Michael Bean doesn't know them.
That was his dialogue.
Much easier. God, he says something to him. I don't know the answer to this one.
Poor soul, you were just too high strung.
Oh.
All right, so far, Kalen gets to stay in the house.
Next question for Kalen. What was Michael's first credited role?
Thank Christ.
Jeez.
Well, we know it's not Grease.
That's what I was going to say, it's Grease. But I would say his first major movie after Grease.
However you interpret the question.
Michael, do you know this?
That's not the question.
I would say Grease, but I know the first major movie he was in was called The Fan.
I don't like it. I don't like either one. You are wrong, Kalen.
Oh, you have the answers.
I do.
Oh, okay.
Dawson, what is the correct answer?
We're verifying with our judges right now.
Are we talking
Michael.
Television and film, or just film?
First
the
credited
answer
role.
Is
my first credited role
yeah.
was.
What do you think?
Well, yeah, I know what it was. It was in the remake of. They were going to do a television series of that science fiction movie that. I'll have to think about it.
Dune.
We're going to go with Coach.
No.
Does the Coach sound familiar?
Well, Coach is my first...
Coach, I was going to say Coach.
Yeah. No.
Coach,
yeah. No.
Coach is the correct answer.
Me, Kathy Crosby. Yeah.
Time to pull you.
Okay, Brian, you can come up with this one. How many times has Michael Bean played a Navy SEAL?
Three times, fool! That is correct.
Yes!
Kalen.
I got a bonus point for answering with trust.
That's pretty incredible.
Kalen, can you name two of those three movies?
The Abyss and Navy SEALs.
He was not a SEAL in The Abyss.
We beg to differ with you, Brian. Can you name the third for no points?
The Rock.
You are correct, but you get nothing.
Damn.
Congratulations, Kalen.
All right.
Okay, Brian.
Michael, of course I was.
How'd you know it was three if you didn't think it was The Abyss?
I knew it was The Abyss.
Oh.
I don't like anything that's happening right now.
Back to you. Michael sustains the same injury in both The Terminator and Aliens. What is that injury?
It's a head wound. I remember for sure in Aliens he had like head wrapped. Will that suffice? Head wound?
I don't know, Michael Bean. Will that suffice?
What was the question?
You sustained the same injury, and although I thought in Terminator a gut.
In both Terminator and Aliens, you sustained the same injury. What was that injury?
It wasn't the same injury.
Uh-oh, we might have to go.
In the Aliens, I thought he got burned on, like, the shoulder and the arm, although he did have the head wrap
on. Yeah, head wrap.
Yeah.
According to this game, you were bitten in the hand in both movies.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
But
that's not fair.
I was also killed off in both.
What if I named the characters?
I was also killed off in both of them and therefore couldn't do the sequels, which is the more important.
That is
we would have accepted
better.
Death as
I'm
well.
I'm going to name the characters. Newt bit you in Aliens, and Sarah Connor bit you. It was an injury. I thought it was like a light valve. I mean, that's not an injury.
No.
He's Kyle Reese.
Sorry, Brian. We cannot accept that as an answer.
Dawson says no, for
God's sake.
Who's winning now? Where do we stand?
Kalen Bean? Oh, actually, Gina's keeping score.
Yeah, so far, Kalen 2, Brian 1.
Okay,
all right.
Kalen gets to stay in the house for now.
Kalen, who kills your dad in the movie Cherry Falls?
Oh. I know two actors in this movie.
Better guess one of them.
One... I'm going to guess the only person I know him from this movie, Jay Moore.
Correct, Kalen!
Yeah.
Wow. Well done!
Good old Jay.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
Michael dies in a fiery car crash in which movie?
I'm running through the list of deaths. I'm going to go off board. Although I don't think you died in that movie.
Sound it out.
Oh, okay. The Robert Rodriguez Planet Terror.
Nope. That is incorrect, Ryan.
Is it Seventh Seal?
It is not.
Okay, good. I don't know what it is.
What
the answer is
it?
Mojave Moon.
Oh, Mojave Moon. Yes, of course.
So far, this round, Kalen is the victor of this round one.
I'm making it up in the next round.
There's three rounds.
Wow. There is.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
Co-starred in that movie with 21-year-old Angelina Jolie.
Oh, lucky man.
No, I was lucky to be in the movie with her. But, yeah.
All right, so we're going to flip a coin to see who goes first in the Bean Poll. Round two, Bean Poll. You will trade back and forth naming a movie that Michael Bean has appeared in. The first to get stumped or list a movie incorrectly will slip down to the bottom of the Bean Poll and also lose this round. So
Can I have a second?
Yeah. I don't know. Judges, can you have a second?
I know the movies. I just need to write them down. So I have
I'm not
list.
Feeling good about this one.
Kalen doesn't like it.
I know the movie.
Yeah, but he doesn't want you to do that.
This has to be off the top of your head.
It's supposed to be boom.
Take your time.
Let's see. Ready?
All right, I'm going to flip the coin. Who wants, I got a Harris chip here. Who wants Jesters and who wants Stars?
I'll take Jesters.
All right, here we go.
All right. Coin has been flipped and dropped on the ground.
Jesters up.
Me first?
You can pick if you want to go first.
Aliens.
Terminator.
Tombstone.
The Abyss.
The Rock.
And these are movies.
Yes.
Sorry. You said, okay, we can't repeat, obviously.
No. Gotta be a time limit.
I know, I think. I'm trying to get clever, but not too soon. Grease.
Planetaire.
The Seventh Seal.
No, that's not the name of the movie, but I give him
the Seventh Sign?
No!
Oh!
Whoa, okay!
Michael Bean coming in hot! All right, Brian, this does not look good for you.
All right.
I think it does.
I think round two goes to Kalen.
How many more movies do you know?
Is it over?
I had a good amount still banked.
Shall we keep going just to see what happens?
I think you should.
All right.
Keep going.
Keep going.
I like to see a man defeated.
I feel humbled.
So I guess I'll go. Navy SEALs.
Okay, I think it's over.
Yeah, I think Michael Bean calls it.
Take me home tonight.
Nice.
Oh, ooh.
Back in.
The Fan.
Bean's impressed.
I'm trying to remember. You were... Okay, so... you were credited in Alien 3. Because they used a clay model of you. Is that on his IMDb?
We'll allow it.
There's a picture of me in the movie. I'm not sure. I would give that.
I think they have to pay you for that. I think they have to pay you for that.
Oh, they paid me for it.
Okay, then it counts.
Gina says we'll allow it.
It counts. Kalen?
The Divide.
Oh, that was my choice. The Victim.
Wow.
Michael Bean direct self-directed.
Wow.
Susan's Plan.
Ooh.
Wow.
Deep cut.
Yeah.
The Seventh Sign.
Way to crawl back in.
No, I said The Seventh Seal.
Yeah, he got it wrong. I don't know why we're allowing this.
Havoc.
I was going to say Havoc. Oh, what was that? What was the one? What's the one on your IMDb page? It's a remake. It's a... Magnificent Seven.
Well, it's a TV show.
No. I'm pretty sure this round goes to Kalen.
That's the IMDb
Come on,
page.
We gotta fix this.
I mean, he looks great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
that picture is from Magnificent.
You can barely tell it's you.
Dawson, Chris, how you. Say you? He got one
say
wrong and named a movie.
Goes to Kalen.
All right.
Kalen was very confident in every answer.
Yeah, quiet.
I was starting to dig into the deep ones. The recently made being produced movies.
You know, he worked on DVDs.
He worked on
half of them.
Oh, there you go. These are also Kalen Bean movies. Now, Brian, there is still a way for you to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No, victory from jaws of defeat.
That's why
I'm playing from behind.
That's what it seemed wrong. This is the free form question and answer portion of Bald versus Bean. You will both receive the same question. I will judge the answers based on sincerity and passion.
Whoa.
Are you ready for the question, both of you?
Yeah.
Now again, Kalen, very strong showing so far. This is your game to lose. Brian, still able to win, but it's going to take a lot.
I will show no mercy. I'll show no remorse. I'll show no pity. And I will not stop.
Oh, my God.
Until the game is mine.
Your question is, what does Michael Biehn mean to you?
Ooh.
Kaylin, you go first.
Landlord? Is that
sure.
acceptable?
I mean, not a strong start, but sure.
Probably the best. That's way to go. Oh, you need...
We would like you to be a little
it's
more extemporaneous.
That's about it, really.
So that'll do it.
What's my rent this month, by the way? Am I behind on that?
Depends how good this answer is.
Yeah.
Shy.
Turn the music down a little. Let him get in the zone.
It's, you know, I don't know what to say anything shy of, you know, everything in the world. He's my dad.
If he cries, I'm gonna
he's
lose.
He will always lose been there for me. He's always supported me. He's always been a great father. What more is there to say?
That's a very simple, succinct, honest, heartfelt.
Now, how was I as a father to you?
You're about to find out.
You raised him.
To find out.
Brian, same question. What does Michael Biehn mean to you?
Can I get some music? Can I get some?
Oh, he gets the music.
What does Michael Biehn mean to me?
Yeah, that's the question.
Picture this. It's the early 1990s. A young, balding Brian sits up late at night, alone, as always, watching rated R movies that he's not supposed to see. Now, whether it's a time-traveling cyborg or an alien queen or an alien made of water, I'm not quite sure what exactly the thing was made of, or a sweaty Val Kilmer, all of these monsters represent an existential threat to the survival of mankind, nay, the survival of the universe. Who will save us? Who will be our salvation? Jesus Christ? He's got better things to do, I guess. No. Our salvation comes in an even more heavenly form. Michael Biehn.
I think he was reading that.
Okay, technically it was Sarah Connor who killed the Terminator, and I suppose if we want to get into the details, it was Ellen Ripley who killed the alien queen, and fine, Biehn was a bad guy in the alien, or into the abyss and Tombstone.
Not really a bad guy, but...
But here's the
misunderstood.
Point. Here's the point. These films had one thing in common. Most of them made James Cameron a shitload of money. But they have something else in common, Michael. Effing Biehn. Sure, I had a father, but I need a dad.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Biehn, Michael, Dad.
Son.
Let's spill some blood in that mud.
Let's do it.
Wow.
Pretty good.
That was...
Pretty good.
Wow.
That was moving. Yeah. I got a little grapefruit in my throat.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good about that.
All right, well, technically, I'm
supposed
to pick a winner.
How do you feel about that trivia,
boy? However, I would like to confer with the man of the hour, the titular...
Take your time. It's a lot to digest.
Mr. Biehn, this is a lot of heap praised on you at once. Two people vying for your love, vying for your acceptance,
It's all good.
So, I know you might feel a little closer to one than the other. However,
well, Kaylin's all right.
Try and remove yourself from the fact that you're Kaylin's birth father. Where do you think these guys stand in terms of who knows Biehn best?
Him.
Kaylin?
Oh, yeah.
I'll take it into consideration.
I mean, you know, he didn't talk. He talked about all the good stuff.
This hurts a lot.
Yeah. Okay, I'm listening. I'm strict but fair.
This segment did not go the way I envisioned.
All right, Brian.
Yes.
The first round, I was pulling for you. I appreciate the flop sweat.
I was pulling for me.
I appreciate the flop sweat as much as I appreciated Kaylin's cool, calm demeanor.
I think Brian's questions were harder than the ones I got.
They were difficult.
I didn't really know any of them.
Stop helping him.
You know, Kaylin, if I have to lose anyone, I'd like it to be one of his other sons, but you're not too bad.
Well, maybe you don't lose.
I know.
We're just mulling it over right now. You cared the most. You definitely emoted the most. While Kaylin sat in his ivory tower just answering questions, throwing coins to the peasants.
Yeah. He had the whole he's my dad thing to fall back on.
Right. I think that...
He birthed me.
The Biehn poll, you slipped a little bit.
Yeah.
That was not your finest moment.
No.
But Mr. Conveniality, round three... That was strong.
I feel like I shined.
It was...
Shined?
Sheened. Well-produced. Heartfelt. Thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. Honest.
Just the right amount of ass-kissing without going overboard.
It wasn't overboard.
It's like my ass.
However!
Oh, no.
I feel in Mr. Biehn's answer of who should win, there's a very interesting and sordid backstory.
Okay.
That I think Kaylin has earned the right to stay in that house. Oh. Kaylin, congratulations.
Thank you.
You remain right. Michael Bean's son. Brian, better luck next time.
I'm sorry, Brian. It you know,
what could it be, Michael Bean?
It felt like we had something going there for a while.
Do you still have the Johnny Ringo hat?
I got it. No. I wish I had so many props from so many movies.
You could have moved to Studio City, but no. It's just not your time.
Kaylin's room property is small, though.
Better luck next year.
All right.
Mr. Bean, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Michael. You're a good sport putting up with this nonsense.
All right.
This absurdity.
Right. Kaylin, congratulations.
Thank you. Hold the crown.
Yes, hang on for a second. This one's so hard.
This was very easy, I frankly don't know why we don't do this all the time.
You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
If you hated it, don't worry. We'll not be doing it again.
And that was Michael Bean hanging out with Gina and Brian as they sat in the captain's chair simultaneously while Adam was away. Now, when Michael Bean came in, it was Brian's decision, obviously, to have him as the guest. We were racking our brains. Who could we bring in? And luckily, we knew somebody who knew Michael Bean. And he came on very graciously, and it was a lot of fun. I loved the Gina and Brian shows. It's always a little different vibe, but
I think there's been four now.
Yeah. And they're really fun to do. Like, we always have a blast, and look forward to doing more.
It's a unique thing among Gina's co-hosting era. It didn't go on before Gina was there. They've guest-hosted shows, but never just the Brian, the sound effects guy, technically, and the news gal. But they do, and it works out great.
I agree.
And it's funny you mentioned somebody that knows Michael Bean. You know Michael Bean, so
yeah.
I know Michael Bean's son, but I don't know John Connor. So I know the dad of John Connor, but I know his other son.
You're right.
Who works for Corolla Digital. Didn't save the universe.
There's somebody who knows him a little bit better than me, though. So I'll just say that I know somebody.
Okay, well, and then Brian, of course, referred to him as Michael Bane for years on his show, The Film Vault. And he screamed his love of Bane, Bane. And he literally shouted from the microphone in the studio.
Yeah.
And finally, to be corrected, it's Bean.
Favorite Michael Bean role?
It technically has to be the father of John Connor in Terminator and then his deleted scene from Terminator 2. But Aliens was amazing. I'd love to see that continued. I feel like I don't celebrate enough of his work, but it would be one of those two. What's yours?
I loved him in The Rock. Every time I watched The Rock.
A lot of people go for The Rock, and that's a common one. I love The Rock, but I feel like it's not as important to film as those other two.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, it's obviously not as substantial as a role, but for me, personally, it gives me chills.
I'll never forget VX poison gas and those green balls and any of it.
Right.
Burned in my brain.
I want to remind everybody that this show is brought to you by Geico. Look, though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. And Geico would just like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves, your DIY haircut fails, and thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Gio, what do you like people sharing?
I like when they share information about Geico and the new policy where you get the 15% back. It's really helpful.
That's right, because it's Geico's turn to share, too, with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. And because Geico's committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. So visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. All right, let's get going with another clip. Now, as you know, earlier this week, the great Fred Willard passed. I don't know if Adam mentioned this, but Fred was actually booked for the podcast this month as a guest. So what happened was he was scheduled for Tuesday, and he emails us a few days before saying, hey, can we push it to later in the month? So we actually had him confirmed for the end of the month, and we all found out on the news, and it was... He will be missed.
Oh, very much so. He's a comedy legend. Super nice guy. He's beloved by everybody from all these different walks of life. He had an extremely full life full of different roles and characters. And back in 2016, he came on the show on Adam Carolla's show, 1735. It was an episode with David Wilde, Gina Grant, and Brian Bishop. This is the entire portion with Fred Willard from January 2016. Rest in peace, Fred.
Nicaraguan, name that movie. with Adam's buddy, Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Come out, wherever you are.
If you said Cape Fear...
Come out, wherever you are.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Nice draw. Nice pull. Brian got that one. Fred Willard, one of our... everyone's comedy hero. Fred Willard. Everybody's comedy hero. I used to watch Fernwood Tonight way back in the day. If you guys haven't seen it, was America Tonight, then Fernwood, then America.
Then America Tonight, because they moved the fictional city to California.
It was the, like, nothing that really came before it and nothing since.
I think it was unique. They've tried to do it since, but what we try to do is make it seem like a real cable, cheap cable show from this fictitious town. And it became a favorite of a lot of, Norman Lear was the producer. And a lot of his celebrity friends, it was only supposed to be on one season, and then a lot of his celebrity friends wanted to be on it, so he picked it up for a second year.
Fred was great as sort of the sidekick on it, the band leader, Happy Kind and the Mirthmakers,
yes.
I remember,
yeah.
was the band leader was great.
That's so great.
It was just great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And I just remember seeing that, you know, as just as a young boy, being inspired by it. I got it, even as a young person, what was going on. I didn't know if I got all the Martin Mull stuff. No, it was Martin Mull was sort of the...
Yeah, Harry Shearer and Martin wrote Martin's monologue, which I always loved. And we did the first spoof about a religious theme park. Before Tammy Faye Baker and all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some very interesting writing they had, interesting satire.
It was, I kind of want to say ahead of its time, but then it's not like anyone ever was able to duplicate it.
No.
But it was, if you want to go back and have a laugh and look at it, just something that should be in some sort of time capsule is insanely creative and interesting. And then a whole bunch of names, Harry Shearer, before Harry Shearer was Harry Shearer, and a whole bunch of guys before they were who they are. It makes sense as you start going through the lineup.
Look at the list. Dabney Coleman, Jim Varney was on there.
Yes. Yeah, it's just a bunch of really funny dudes, and of course, Fred Willard. All right, we will do some news, so get ready for that. All Stars, name of the movie, available as we speak on all the platforms. All right, should we do a little news, Gina Graham?
Let's do it.
Is this breaking news or is this...
It's always breaking.
That's great.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gina Grad. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, there's some good news finally for Lamar Odom. The former NBA star won't be hit with any drug charges after he overdosed in a Nevada brothel. Though cocaine was found in his system, prosecutors don't believe they can prove he actually possessed or used the substance while in Nevada. So this,
really?
Little loophole. This comes just days after Lamar was released from Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in LA. He's now at a rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that bizarre?
All of law is bizarre. Like, it's all sort of loosely based on, give him a break, or, you know, it's this sort of thing, or it's like, you have these laws. I think this is based on, he's gone through enough.
I think so, too.
Also, because everything is taking place in social media, everything becomes a popularity contest. So if you're the DA, the prosecutor, the whatever in Henderson County, do you really want to be that guy who steps up and goes, no, I'm bringing him back?
You have to make the example.
And put him in leg irons and bringing him back and see if I can get him to spend 7 months in jail. Like, you are going to get so much shit on the internet about, hasn't this man suffered enough? He's already admitted he had a problem, blah, 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 blah.
You're like, right, because the district attorney, like everyone else, is reelected or goes up for reelection. So are you going to be the one whose name is tied to this either scandalous or unpopular or whatever case, or do you want to just kind of float under the radar a little bit?
Yeah, and people were interested in a news story. They're not interested in what his he's going to be sued for or ticketed.
Yeah, but it's sort of like if every ref at a football game could just make the hometown call and there was no opposition on the other team to complain about it, because there's nobody, there's none of us like, oh, well, you know what? I am going to take to social media and explain why this 7-foot man needs to be brought to justice. Like, there's none of that. So this is kind of like, you want to be the one who issues the warrant for the guy who everyone seems to love, and you know the Kardashians are going to jump on the internet. And,
it's going to be documented in a reality show in about 6 months.
Do you want to be that guy, or can we just...
Or can we just let him recover in a hospital somewhere?
And even people who didn't know who Lamar Odom was, they don't know the Kardashian.
They know now. Right.
Yeah. Oh, Kardashian. News on the Kardashians. Yeah.
That's what it'll spill into.
You know, when I read this story and I was thinking about it, it got me thinking about, remember maybe a week or so ago when we were talking about Bo Bergdahl and the new season of Serial, the radio show is sort of dissecting what happened to him.
Controversial
and blah, blah, blah.
Soldier. Wandered off. Some say deserted. Say he didn't like the conditions that were going on his camp and went to go to another camp. Couple guys may have died, I think, trying to rescue him or on these journeys to try to go get him. And
So I'm listened to more of the episodes, and I've been very trying to keep an open mind, even though, you know, what he has caused and what he did, really, for lack of a better way to put it, it sucked. They've gone through describing pretty much all of his torture over the 4 years or whatever. And people who specialize in finding out about, you know, prisoner torture and that sort of thing said that as an American soldier, he has gone through worse torture than anyone ever since Vietnam. And at this point, he's probably suffered enough. And I think that'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Since Vietnam, so are we counting Grenada? since Vietnam, he's kind of worse. What the Japanese did to these guys was barbaric. Right. The dysentery, they'd starve them to death, they'd go on a baton death march, and blah, blah, blah. And then they'd rape their corpse. And I'm like, it can't be worse. But since Vietnam, it's a pretty big...
That's true. But when they go through what actually happened to this guy and what happened to his body and the deprivation and the neglect and the torture, a lot of people from the White House, from the military, are going, he's probably suffered enough. So I don't know what's going to happen. But it was pretty interesting.
But people hear that he deserted his fellow troops, and everyone's mind flashes back to those World War II movies where the guy on the machine gun and where's my backup? Where'd he go?
Yeah.
And so there's two different sides. He deserted his troops.
It sounds bad.
I'm with you. But, you know, I wonder if you said to those same people, Bill Cosby's son was executed by the side of the road. How about we cut him some slack?
I wonder how they would go for that.
Would they be receptive to that?
I'd fall on some deaf ears.
Probably not.
All right. So which is it?
Yeah. I don't think I'd be receptive to that either.
All right. So I'm just saying, there is a certain logic that we're either using or we're not using. Having your son executed, arguably tougher than your waterboarding or whatever happened at some point. So are we accruing some interest for what happened before that we can now apply to today, or are they two separate issues?
I think it's a bit apples and oranges. It's analogous, certainly.
All right.
Well, staying in this vein a little bit, during last week's CNN town hall, President Obama addressed the sweeping pleas to pardon Steve Avery, who, you know, is sort of the subject of Making a Murderer, which is this phenomenon now on Netflix, his docuseries. The subject of the Netflix show Making a Murderer was sentenced to life behind bars for a murder he may not have committed. A couple of petitions demanded action from the White House to correct what appears to be an injustice. But Obama said he would not pardon Avery nor his nephew, Brendan Dassey.
He said he'd have a beer with him.
Yeah.
But he would not pardon him.
Yep. The White House explained in a statement.
Frosty one.
Since Stephen Avery and Brendan Dassey are both state prisoners, the president cannot pardon them. Huh. So he's staying out of it. But I know you've been talking about it on Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah. Dean Stang, his attorney's on, coming up this week.
Strang.
Oh, Strang. Sorry. Couldn't read it from here. Dean Strang.
We're looking at a picture. He's a perfect combination of Norm and Cliff from Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
He's the perfect in between.
George Wendt, Ratzenberger.
And Ratzenberger. Yeah. He's right there.
Yeah. Oh,
now that you mention it.
We talked to the attorney. For me, I didn't see anything. We spoke to the attorney. Garagos is outraged.
Garagos is outraged in which direction?
He thinks the guy was set up.
Okay.
Yeah.
My feeling is I have, this is not bonded or licensed, don't have a law degree, and I'm an atheist, so I'm allowed to just think however I want to think. My feeling is sort of the most people that are in prison, for the most part, you didn't do this. You did something else. Or you basically ran in this. You chose a path.
Right.
The path was not one of righteousness. There was a lot going on. I've heard about the brothers. I've heard about him. Yep. I have a sort of thing, which is you may be falsely imprisoned at some point in your life. It's never going to be Fred Willard, because Fred Willard is never going to engage in this behavior where he harms other right. human beings or potentially violates them or whatever it is. I don't see, I have this thing where I do not believe the law is right all the time. But I do believe they're sort of right when it all shakes out.
Okay.
And
spiritually right.
Yeah. Well, people go, oh, so your son, your 9-year-old son, what if he was just walking home from school and he got snatched up and thrown in a federal prison? It's like, no. He's not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, if you join a gang, and yes, if you do participate in a couple drive-bys and or you have a little whatever, and yes, you can be falsely accused. You could have just been the guy riding in the car, mm-hmm. not the one firing the gun or whatever it is. But my advice will be, don't get in the car.
You're going down that path, yeah.
Yeah, so my feeling is, set up, but who cares?
Mm.
Because I think him and his family are bad dudes. Mm. Anyway,
they live on the edge of the law.
What is his rap sheet or his brother's rap sheets? And then also,
his involves the notables from his are torturing and then burning a cat to death, and then getting into an argument with some kind of relative, I think
cousin.
An in-law or a cousin, and his revenge after she did whatever she supposedly did was to get naked and beat off on the hood of a car as she drove by.
Hey,
I'm
man.
Not going to judge a man
yeah.
for that.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
We've all been there yeah. before. That's it.
Fred Willard's been in jail five highlights. Times over.
Those are the highlights.
I never actually released. I just walked out. Very low. Very low.
Minimum security.
Yeah, minimum security.
He's got a few more minor things.
They're an unsavory family, but that doesn't necessarily make him guilty of this crime.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying.
What did the brother do? I'm just.
You mean the nephew?
No, I mean, he has brothers as well. Oh. This is another one of those. I tend to profile mm-hmm. and see who came from what. But all I'm saying is Bo Bergdahl, I don't know what you did, but if you don't wander off base, yeah. then we don't get guys killed right. looking for you. And maybe you've been through enough, but don't wander off base.
Right. Yes.
In life,
sure.
don't wander off base, and then you'll not have the opportunity yeah. of this happening to you.
Well, but the interesting thing, they say that Stephen Avery has an IQ of like 70, and so does his nephew, and especially his nephew, who's like a teenager, was, you know, at the time they were doing all this, you're shooting it. They kind of try to paint him as this manipulative, you know, sort of villainous kid, and he just doesn't seem to have the wherewithal to pull that off.
Well,
he's
what
below 70 IQ.
What I'm now learning, now that
you want to hear about the brothers?
One second. The aforementioned serial and this and documentaries or whatever in general, we're going to have to come up with a new term for them. Because they're becoming entertainment,
right.
and thus we're approaching them from angles now
sure.
with leanings.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
And maybe I'm naive, but I feel like documentaries 20 years ago were just more sort of reporting on, here's what happened.
Yeah, setting up a camera on Nanook of the North and just kind of watching.
Yeah, now it's a lot of, we got a preconceived notion.
We got a
narrative here, yeah. and we got to tell that narrative. And because it's a documentary, it's always insanely compelling.
Of course.
And I'm sure if you wanted to make, you could make a documentary about fracking being evil, and then someone else could make a documentary about the virtues of fracking, mm-hmm. and it could both be equally compelling, depending on who was going what direction. And I'm not even saying either one of them would be wrong, but you would be wrong just to watch one or the other and then walk away with, minds. I have now, I'm an expert on fracking, and I now know everything that there is to know on this.
I feel like, are you guys familiar with Paradise Lost, the West Memphis Three, the kids who supposedly did the satanic ritual and killed, and they were exonerated for the most part. They were sort of proven to
after
be
years.
After years. And it's funny because this is sort of an early version of this, and there were that's more or less the very, very, very rare example of what you were talking about, where these kids didn't really do anything. They were little outsiders for their communities, but they were kind of plucked out of their homes and tried for this thing they probably didn't do. But it's the exception that proves the rule, which is that's so extraordinary. They made a documentary about it, three documentaries about it. It's so extraordinary that one happened, and it's probably pretty rare.
Well, now, I used to think that if you're a documentarian, you had to have a certain amount of artistic integrity. And now it's just, we're calling it a documentary, but we're really making a film about this guy being innocent, or a film about this person being guilty, or this guy wandering off the base. Like, we're just picking an angle, we're making a film. And hey, look, it's entertainment. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it stirs people up and agitates.
Well, it is very compelling. And like you said, from what we've all now seen from this docuseries, from the evidence they've presented us, from all the courtroom video and everything, it seems like something very unfair happened.
I agree with that part. I'm also a cosmic guy, which is set a cat on fire. Maybe you get framed 20 years later. Go ahead, Gary, with the brothers.
His brother Charles has apparently a history of strange behavior around women, and in 1999 was charged with sexual assault by use of force on his then-wife. The other brother, Earl, was charged in 1995 with sexually assaulting his two daughters. Pled no contest.
No Earl.
The thing is, hey, no contest, or we'll never really know. I could never – the idea that I have young kids maybe Adam didn't. We'll never know.
Closed doors, only they know.
That's his business.
It's impossible. Yeah. It's impossible. It cannot happen. It will never happen. It is literally impossible. It could. And listen, my daughter loves ratting me out and dropping a dime on me whenever she can.
Trust me, she would come forth right quick.
Well, first I'd get the shit kicked out of me by that 9-year-old because she's a whirling dervish of hair and fingernails. But
she's
then secondly, it's impossible, you see? And the fact that, he was charged with, but then later he pled down to, it's like, and we can't judge. Right. Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. And that would never happen. All right, so there's some stuff there.
Okay.
Inky stuff. Well, let's switch gears. Jennifer Lawrence made waves after the Golden Globes when she yelled at a reporter, for looking at his phone. She told him to be in the moment. The reporter in question was from Latin American E-Network, so many people assume the reporter was reading notes off his phone, possibly translating questions. But according to some, the reporter was not translating questions. Instead, he was messing around with his phone. Here's a clip of Jennifer chiding him.
Hold on a second. I love Ricky Gervais's joke. Everyone's passed by. They're in repeating all his jokes.
Sure.
But the one they're missing is the one where he brings up Jennifer Lawrence and bringing out equal pay for women in Hollywood. And how is a 25-year-old supposed to get by on $51 million a year? I love that joke. All right.
How do you feel for the – how do you see yourself for the
Oscars
night?
You can't live your whole life behind your phone, bro.
Huh?
You're just not gonna. Wow. You can't do that. You gotta live in the now.
Oh, sorry.
You know?
How do you see yourself for the Oscar night? And how was
we're
working?
At the Golden Globes? If you put your phone down, you'd know that.
Was he trying to read a question off the phone?
That's what they thought. But now some other reporters saying he was messing around with his camera while he was trying to interview her.
Oh. A couple things.
But still, when you're that powerful and that famous and that successful, it's easy to pick on some poor guy out there and make a fool of him. Just go along and smile and answer the question and move on. That's my
idea. Well,
don't call him and don't
Freddie.
Bro him.
Yeah. Just eat the barbecue. Don't get into it. I agree.
That's my version.
He's not playing Angry Birds. He's well within his right to try and record the question he's asking.
Yes.
Could be for his blog, could be for the website.
She did that thing, and it's a celebrity thing. It's kind of a douchey thing. It's maybe an everyone thing, which is you get caught up on something. You know what I mean? You'll see athletes do it all the time. You know, you'll see there's been some pretty good Evel Knievel press conferences. Mm-hmm. There's been some pretty good athlete ones where you'll bring something, somebody brings something up that's a little burn, your saddle. It's like for some reason, you're annoyed by it. And then it becomes self-perpetuating. Yeah. Energy machine, which is whatever he does next with the phone, she's pissed about, she's still on the phone.
Yeah,
he could have made the phone evaporate. He could have done full like Penn and Teller, done the thing, and the thing ping and a puff of smoke, and she'd still be going. You see, yep. When you live your life, because it got her on a little blowhardy roll.
Yeah. I agree. I have a theory too. Along with that, maybe or maybe not a cocktail involved or a Moet.
I would definitely say
possibly not. I think she's spending a little too much time with Amy Schumer and was trying to be funny. I think she was trying to like kind of like burn the guy, trying to actually like, roast him a little bit.
They are BFFs, right?
I think she's trying to be a little bit funny there, and it's just no one laughed. Like, you got to, well, don't be afraid, live in the moment, bro. All this. They're just trying to get a laugh, and it just wasn't funny.
Plus interesting. English is not obviously his first language.
No. Right.
And when I hear that, my first thought is to admire this person who's out in public doing a job speaking in a, like if I was in Russia and had to basically learn Russian.
Right.
And try to ask, you know, how are, and someone just be. Right. Very rude. It just was wrong to me.
I agree, and I do. Picking on the language is rough because, as someone who speaks English badly, and that's it.
Poorly.
I set you up for that.
Thank you.
It's funny because I was in documentary mode, and I think I was thinking about Paul Newman, where he said, I boxed and I skied and I played football and I did it badly. I think he said badly in it or something, and it was ringing my head. But anyway, you have making fun of somebody who's speaking in their second language when you don't have a second language in the place where we predominantly speak this language. Yeah, it's a little bit of a low blow.
You mean making fun of him in general? Because she wasn't making fun of the way he was speaking.
No, comeback to that.
Just
from that guy.
The guy's sort of struggling. He's doing what he would do if it wasn't his first language.
Yeah, there's no mind your own business, Joy. You know, he doesn't do that because he doesn't have that. He's not quick enough
colloquial,
with the language.
Yeah,
he can't ask her what sugar tits means.
Exactly.
But on the other hand,
should have.
As I say to people all the time, look, Molly Ringwald grew up down the street from me and in a very small house in North Hollywood with a blind father and blah, blah, blah. And then she was this weird little mousy little 11-year-old, 13-year-old. And then next thing you know, she was 16 and she was chilling with Warren Beatty and buying a house on Mulholland
she's world famous at that point.
When $1 million, when it meant $1 million and having a grand piano in her living room and on the cover of, I remember she was on the cover of like Time and People or something like on the same week or something. And then everyone is sort of like, isn't Molly kind of a head case or like, well, you know, come on with the attitude or whatever. And I'm like, what would you be like?
Yeah.
Because when I was 16, I was pretty upset over the cafeteria's offering of fish sticks. Those were some of my bigger problems. I hate fish sticks. Why fish sticks? Why can't we mix it up a little bit? She's getting multi-million-dollar offers and dealing with Warren Beatty over here. And where would your head be at?
So be a little tweaked.
If you, since the age of 18 or 19, was averaging $30 million a year and being pulled in 1,000 different directions, I don't know. Would you have your head completely screwed on right?
No.
I don't think I would either.
And that's the irony of Jennifer Lawrence, because, you know, when we watch that, we're like, oh, that's kind of blowhardy. It's kind of ugh. She's supposed to be the one that's so super down to earth. She's Jennifer Lawrence. You know, so in her mind, she probably thought she was saying a really down-to-earth statement, but it came across just really shitty.
I think a couple glasses of champagne mixed with Brian's Amy Schumer.
She was doing crowd work.
Mixed with, I made $50 million last year, lets me kind of... I think she was philosophically saying how you live your life, too, and came across a certain way.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
who cares? What's next?
Well, the Playboy Mansion is up for sale, and there's reportedly a massive asking price set when it goes on the market, according to Mirror.com. The famous home of the publication's owner, Hugh Hefner, is said to be getting listed over the next month, and Playboy Enterprises wants at least $200 million for it. According to the gossip website TMZ, the six-acre Holmby Hills estate, which was built in 1927, has been described as a teardown, with much of its value about from the acreage. There's also a pretty big condition apparently tied into the sale. Hefner, who's 89 now, must be given a life estate by whoever buys the property, meaning he can continue living there until he dies. In addition, prospective buyers are allowed to tour the property.
So you buy there.
Yep.
But you can't move in until
for 9 months.
You could probably move in, but you can't kick him out.
Well, I'm unclear on this because I heard this too, and it's unclear whether he just lives there with you because the warehouse you're sitting in, I bought it, and when I bought it, it was leased out to a guy who did flooring, and he had another year on his lease, and I can buy this property and I can own this property, but I don't have the right to boot that guy out.
Right.
So I had to wait until that guy was ready to leave. So I don't know if it's that or he physically lives there with you. Gary, is there any...
What I've read suggests that it's your situation, where you will own the property, but he's allowed to live there and you're not, and do his own thing.
Because I smell a reality show if you're allowed to move in,
I
too.
I think we all like that idea of the old man coming down.
Puttering around.
Telling you to turn down that goddamn Jersey Shore. And by the way, Don Adams is coming over to play dominoes later. What do you mean you don't know Don Adams? Get smart. He's a huge star. He's a mega star. You with your goddamn snooky.
There's some man named Jimmy Kahn here to see you.
Then it's going to be awkward when you say, Mr. Hefner, we're going to tear down the place, but you can stay if you want.
Please.
But we are going to tear it down. Ruins.
All right. So I know we all jumped to the fun part, but I think he's 89. He's not moving into the Oakwood.
Right.
And I think it's a regional joke. Thank you. It's temporary housing for kids who want to do commercials in Hollywood. But he's not moving to the Oakwood. So I think what you're saying is you may buy this house right now. If Hef dies in 18 months, then you can come in.
Okay. But I feel like they need to sweeten the deal for that asking price. They're basically just looking for a new landlord, someone to foot the bill.
Couple of things, and you guys tell me. This, first off, we always get into the names. Like, I don't think Hawaiian Gardens should be allowed to be called Hawaiian Gardens because it's a piece of shit.
Sure. Yeah.
And if you're living in Pittsburgh and you're thinking about relocating out to L.A., Hawaiian Gardens sounds pretty sweet. I like to do an exchange program. Holmby Hills sounds like a place where they just serve malt liquor and you have to run serpentine to the mailbox. So I'd like Hawaiian Gardens or Panorama Hills. City.
Switch them out.
Some of the other pile of shit cities in this state or in this bigger city in Los Angeles.
Even 29 Palms.
Yes. Swap them out. I'll start with Holmby Hills and I'll swap you out with Sun Valley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Sunland, another dicey place, but I might start with Hawaiian Gardens, number one. Number two, here's the question. I've been to the Playboy Mansion quite a few times. Fred, I'm guessing you probably.
I've been several times,
been
yes.
there. And, it is, this place, the notion that it's old is true, but it's also, so are castles in Scotland. Like,
it's pretty cool.
It's
like
got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And the brick, the brickwork, the masonry and the blocks and everything, it's pretty damn nice. Now, you could buy this acreage, flatten it, and build 14 McMansions in there and probably turn a profit, but that's the Playboy Mansion.
How has it not been declared a national whatever landmark or whatever? That's actually kind of crazy to me. Historical landmark, what I'm saying, not national landmark.
Yeah,
like the Hearst Castle.
It could
was
be.
Was it your house in the hills, a historical house or something? You could only do so many things to it.
Well, because it was Adams.
That's what I'm saying. If Adams, of all people, if your house, you know what I mean. What this is a legendary site.
Well, they tore down Pickfair. Remember where the Mary Pickford.
Pickford's.
Yeah, right. They tore that down. Now, the Playboy Mansion, if they're not going to tear it down, they have to drain the jacuzzi.
Oh, the grotto.
Sterilize it and refill it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think it'd be great to live there with all the history. And I'm wondering who has, to begin to have $200 million to pay for a house and then say, let's level it and build. Who has this money? Where do you...
Maybe
Jennifer Lawrence.
It'll be some China thing or some OPEC, or you know, group, Middle Eastern something. It'll be weird, like when you go, who plays $1 million hands of blackjack and plays three hands? Pick a nationality, and that'll be it. Yeah. It'll never be, Jerry from Nebraska. Yeah. It's never that. you know, the Wahlbergs from Montana, they'll be out there.
They provide all the cheese to the McDonald's on this side of Mississippi.
Just pick crazy nationality, and then you'll probably have your answer.
Right.
Now, I would think, there was like $200 million of... I'll bet if you bought that place and hung on to it, you would eventually come out on top. I don't know. Candy Spelling's place is like almost across the street. Mm-hmm. And by the way, is that $200 million? That comes with the peacocks, right?
Oh, it's got to come with the macaques.
I need a menagerie for that money. Also, there's like off the grotto, there is this other room and this sort of hatch and a downstairs.
The game room?
No, not the game room. The game room is its own thing.
That's like a freestanding guest house.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You're talking about her dad's place, right? Not her current penthouse.
Her current place. Yeah her husband's place.
That one sold for $85 when she sold it.
A bargain.
Bernie Escalante's daughter put, according to this, $20 million into it and is on the market for $150.
Mm. Yeah, so it's not that...
No, it's not
everyone's like $200 million.
I think the Playboy Mansion has more acreage, too. Six acres.
But also... Yeah,
it's a bigger spread.
It's a park.
Pardon the pun.
You've all been. I've been a couple times for, you know, radio stuff. So... And I did something that I've never done before, and I read a genre of book that I've never read. I read the Holly Madison Down the Rabbit Hole, Bunny Hole, whatever mm-hmm. the fuck. Yeah, I did. I read on vacation, Gary. Stop shaking your head at me. Mm-hmm. So between what I've
Holly
seen...
Holly was one of Hef's girlfriends. Yes. Or whatever,
very much in love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So between reading that crazy tell-all and just being there the few times that I have, the outside is gorgeous. Like you said, the brickwork, the landscaping, amazing. But inside, apparently really fallen apart. Yeah. Like the carpets and the furniture, it's not a well-kept home.
No, it's not. It's like an old guy lives there, and that's what it is. It's not updated. Like when you would go into not the grotto, but the room sort of adjacent to the grotto that had the shag carpet and the weird mm-hmm. bathrooms and the spiral staircase that went down to the lower area and all that. It was like, funky 70s carpet. I, by the way, wouldn't touch a thing.
It's pretty cool for being a time capsule kind of thing.
No, what you would do is I think you would rewire it, replumb it, get new burnt orange shag and put it on the ceiling.
Get a new floor bed to walk on.
Yeah, just do it, but do it like you did in old Duesenberg. You know what I mean? Don't put an airbag in it. Yeah. Don't put a Krako stereo in it.
Put a new Aruga horn.
That's right. Uncle Henry. Yeah, finally a reference Fred got.
Well, passengers on a flight in the U.S. recently were given a shock when a turkey took a seat in the cabin. The incredible photo has been shared on the internet. There it is right there. And shows the bird sitting open-beaked, being hugged by its owner. It's believed the turkey was taken on board as a, quote, emotional support animal. The photo was shared by a Reddit user who said that their flight attendant friend took the picture and predictably, obviously, drew a lot of comments. Now, here in the U.S., under the terms of the Air Carrier Access Act, people are permitted to take animals on board a flight at no extra cost if they cannot function without the support of the animal, in this case, a turkey.
Okay.
I want to know where that plane was going. I've never seen that many empty seats on a plane.
They're probably just boarding.
I think turkeys pre-board.
Yeah, the fowl always goes first. Yeah. That's how you remember it. All right, a few things. When this whole mess of a society started, when we started going down the toilet about a decade ago, I as the town crier rang the bell and tried to explain to everyone what was going on, I started with the airports of our nations. I started with this, and the example I use, and it's in Road Hard, but I was yelling about it before that. I said, what if I traveled with Gilligan, my service pelican? I was making an extreme example of where we're heading. Meaning, all right, now it's dogs, right. And we're moving on to llamas. Pants. But what if I just decide to travel with a pelican?
An absurd example that we can
an
all laugh at.
Absurd example, happened. Not in our lifetime, but our children's grandchildren could look forward to guys traveling with Gilligan, their service pelican. It took 7.5 years, and we're here now.
Yeah.
Would we like to keep going?
Where does it go from here?
Well, somebody needs to stop the madness, right?
I think this is it. It can't get worse. What could you bring on a plane that would be more distracting?
Let me recreate a conversation from 1961. I saw a gentleman flying without an ascot. Oh, my word! My word! And the pilot took off? Yes, he did. It could never get any worse than that. Oh, I need another brandy. That was 1961. Now, it's going to be, the guy was fucking his llama, but he was in first class.
Yeah.
He paid for the ticket.
That's a non-lethal animal. And Gina, it can go with crocodiles and alligators and animals that can attack. Someone's going to get attacked on a plane by a lethal animal.
That's possible. Mm-hmm. And I said this about whatever.
Well, let me say something. They have police dogs, guard dogs, security dogs. Dogs bite.
Fighting dogs.
20,000 Americans a year. I had dogs fight at my feet when I was leaving Minneapolis 8 years ago or 6 years ago. So, you know, it does not take a python to kill you.
True.
The dog can definitely bite anybody.
The number two most biting dog statistically is the chow. And someone can have a cute little chow on their lap.
Like teddy
bears. Here comes a service, you know, a professional. Let's get your drink down, sir. Nip, bite. There you go.
Yep.
Right in the hand.
And just to go on the other side of this, doesn't anyone feel a little sorry for the turkey?
No.
A little animal cruelty?
I didn't think
no,
about that.
Because I'm belching up a sandwich I had made of his brother.
Yeah,
he's looking
true.
Out the window and his other turkey's flying. Suckers.
Yeah. Be funny. He's talking to his turkey friends. How fast do you fly? I don't know. 20? 25 miles an hour. I look down. I see cars surface straight. I can't keep up highway speed.
I mean, if I'm being chased, I can probably go, you know, I can top out at 30, I suppose.
Yeah, if I got like a buzzard or a hawk or something coming after me or some asshole with one of those stupid drones. Oh, don't get me started on those drones.
Oh, those drones can haul ass.
Yeah. Anyway, I flew at 550 miles an hour here.
Not a feather out of place.
Just look.
I fell asleep in the middle.
Here is the thing. If you need a turkey emotionally, if you for your psyche need a turkey to leave the house or to leave the state, you have issues. You have deep issues. Issues that need to be addressed.
At home.
On the ground.
By a professional.
Not in terminals of Southwest airports. No, yeah, at home. Oh, well, no, look, I Dr. Drew will come in here and, you know, and people call in and go, yeah, I have a horrible back pain and so I have to have 55 Vicodin a day. And he won't go, oh, good on you. Well, that solves that problem.
He'll
go, well, look, the Vicodin may be working for you temporarily, but there's a bigger issue here that needs to be focused on and addressed. This is basically you and a pile of Vicodin because you got back pain. And what I'm saying is let's approach this a little differently.
That's so interesting. Your mind went there. My mind went to someone needed to transport that turkey for some reason, possibly for food, possibly for selling, and didn't want to pay the $75 to stow it.
No, Brian, you're on a roll because for the second time in as many hours, you've been right.
Here we go.
Because
put this in the vault.
We'll split this one down the middle and I'll say we are creating a nation of two groups. It used to be the haves and the have-nots. Now it's the sort of emotionally enabled, just broken emotionally with everyone wanting their safe spots and their hate speak and their all their, you know, all the victims, emotional, whatever. Your stepdad smoked when you were in high school, so now you need to travel with a fucking pachyderm.
I see that coming.
That is that one coming.
Ironic.
No, it's all right.
All right. So there's that group, and then there's the other group, which is just going, well, as long as we're traveling with a bunch of nut jobs, I'm gonna save $72 and bring my dog with me or bring my turkey with me or whatever. Both of them are
the floodgates are open.
One side of the world is nuts. The other is sort of morally bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. And they're hitching a ride on the coattails of the
emotionally broken and unstable and insane victims.
Yes,
that we've created through not yelling at people to get their shit together.
I'm with you.
And
I'm with me.
As I've said 100,000 times, this is what happens when you stop judging. Somebody made the decree 10 years ago, you cannot judge. I then raised my hand at that meeting and said, fuck you. I'm now going to have to triple down on my judging because you guys have all made the decree. You can't judge. Impossible to judge. Yes, it is possible to judge. Not judging is what gets us this, everybody. Would anyone like more of this?
No.
Okay. So please join me in my judgment.
Oh. Well, it's on Reddit. And we're talking about it, so a little bit, you know, it's edging towards the judging.
Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're going to have to go a lot further this direction. Yeah. All right, you get ready with your next one. Yeah. I will tell you about Wix.com. Let me tell you, man. You want to do a business, and you want to do a website, and you want to do it yourself, and you want it to be stunning, you go with Wix.com. That is Wix.com. You don't need to be a programmer. Well, I guess that counts me out. Or a designer. No coding needed. Easy. Just drag and drop. They got those features. Hundreds of customizable templates. Look, you got a business or you're just somebody. You need a website these days. You don't want to spend a ton of dough. It's one of those things, I guess it used to be, it's like flat panel TVs.
Mm-hmm.
It used to cost a ton to get somebody to make you a website, and now
It's going to turn out.
Right.
To yourself. Yeah, you're going for a job, you got to put your resume up there, your examples of your work, whatever.
Yeah, this one's been used by, 75 million people. So get your website, get it up, get it running, get it live today, and do it for free. Go to Wix.com, W-I-X. Wix.com. No credit card required. Sign up. Do it for free. Wix.com. All right, let's do another.
Well, I don't know if this will restore your faith in humanity, but I'm going to give it a try. A simple act of kindness on a subway is making one New Yorker a sensation on social media. This has gone viral in the last day or so. His name is Joey Resto. He's a 23-year-old who gave a homeless man the shirt off his back. And, of course, someone caught it on video. He walked up to the man.
Body, who I told to film it.
Get this.
He walked up to the man, offered his T-shirt. Other passengers avoided the homeless man because of the odor. But Resto noticed he was cold. He was hungry. Decided to lend a hand. He also he helped dress the man and then gave him a wool hat. He also invited him back to his apartment in Brooklyn for more clothes and something to eat, but the man instead fell asleep right there. Here's a little...
By the way, let's not mistake falling asleep with passing out.
I was going to say. It's a nice way to
say it. Dope drop.
Yeah.
No, but this is something you don't see every day.
That's nice. He gives him a beanie, too.
Yeah. He goes and gets his wool hat for him.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of faith restored.
Yeah. Doesn't take much.
Obviously, it's still a lot warmer in New York than it is out here.
It's painful out here, man.
I don't think anyone out here would take off a T-shirt in this cold,
far
from it.
No.
Thin far blood. From it.
No.
Unless you're Channing Tatum, you might say, here, take my T-shirt.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
I might offer him like a leg from my service turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You look hungry.
Yeah.
A drumstick.
I got a comfort turkey here.
You want to hold my comfort python?
Yeah. I got some comfort cranberry relish here, too, and some sweet potatoes.
White or dark comfort?
I would like, you're right, Brian. I'd like to get to the bottom of that animal that brought the animal on the plane and try to figure out. But here's the thing. Said many times, the only way we can sort of police society is not by policing society. And I do think this is part and parcel of the over-policing of society, which is to say, if you leave your kids at a park now, they call Child Protective Services. If you light a cigarette on the beach, you get a ticket. If you crack a beer on the beach, it's a ticket. When you go to a ball game, you get your beer served in a plastic or styrofoam cup because, God forbid, they give you a bottle or a can, you're going to chuck it out on the field. So what we've done is we've said, we're going to over-police. We're going to over-police the shit out of everyone all the time. And in the past, it was, I'm going to the beach. I'm going to bring my family. I, as the parent, will decide whether it's appropriate for me to have a beer in front of my child and decide that I should probably not have more than two beers because I may be driving home. Right. Or if I have more than a couple beers, then I'll have the wife drive home. But that will be up to me as a responsible right. human being. But what we've done is we've wrestled all that common sense away, and we went, don't worry, there's a law that'll handle this. And then we've taken away dignity. Mm-hmm. See, now it's just about, I don't care about dignity. I don't care about judgment. I just got to figure out a way to get this turkey on the plane and not pay $55. I would be the most self-conscious, insane person in the world walking through the airport with a turkey, as everyone should be. But we've erased that.
Yeah.
We've decided you can't judge. Who cares what people think? And by the way, since there's no law on the books that says no turkeys on airplanes, then I'm bringing my turkey on the airplane. There will never be enough laws to keep up with our diabolical ability to abuse laws.
Sure.
There will not be enough laws for
that. The laws are always behind. New laws are always behind. What's going on?
Right. But what will always, and what in the past sort of kept us from putting our bare feet up on the table of the restaurant while we're eating, was decorum.
Yeah.
We didn't want people looking at us and going, hmm. And then what would happen is if you did put your bare feet on there, your wife would elbow you hard in the ribs and go, get your goddamn feet off the table where people are eating here. This is humiliating. I always say I blame all these people's husbands and wives.
For not doing the job.
The day Lynette leaves the house with a 14-pound Tom turkey and says, I'm going to see Bruce Springsteen in the Meadowlands. I go, where are you going with that turkey? And then she goes, well, we're just hopping we got a American Airlines. And No. The same way I blame my mom for letting my stepdad wear a bright red members-only jacket to my mother-in-law's funeral. Somebody's got to be in charge of the nut jobs before they leave the house and stop them at the door and go, hold on.
It's your social responsibility.
Where are you going? Yep. You're not going anywhere in that red windbreaker, John. We're going to a funeral.
That's the conversation that needs to
happen. And put the goddamn turkey down.
And while you're at it.
Right. Because we need to self-police.
Yes.
But we've decided why self-police. We'll just let the police. And the police have tripled down on their policing. And now we're all piles of mush, you don't think. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Do you want to hold my comfort python? Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Till next time. Adam Carolla, Fred Willard, David Wild, Gina Grad, and Mo Brian. Say mahalo.
So you're late, you're a liar, and you probably have diarrhea.
And that was the great Fred Willard back in 2016 on the Adam Carolla Show. I'm going to miss him.
It's a tragedy. I think the best thing you could do is probably go find his work. If you've never seen any of the stuff he's done, you know, The Best in Shows, everything he's done with Christopher Guest, just the Fernwood Tonight. There's a billion different things he's done, TV, sitcom. If there's a format you like, he's probably done something in that format, and he crushed it.
Yeah, and that clip we played on the latest ACS where Fred Willard was in Spinal Tap showing the band around was...
He's been all that Christopher Guest stuff, everything. People, the people who love that stuff swear by it, and that's the funniest movie he's ever seen. And I think a lot of people don't give it a chance because they're like, I haven't seen all of them. You don't really need to see all of them. Just pick one, watch it.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the Carolla Show earlier this week, we had Brandon Cohen come on, at least via Zoom, and he founded Liquid IV. And I want to tell everybody about that because they now sponsor this very podcast as well, Carolla Classics. So Liquid IV is an easy, healthy solution for dehydration All right, this is a problem that a lot of people have. A lot of nurses are having severe dehydration because they're wearing the PPE and they're running around everywhere. So it's easy to forget to keep yourself hydrated. And that's why Liquid IV is here. It's proper hydration, and it's crucial for your immune system that can boost your immunity, which is so important. You'll hear about it from Adam, Drew, everybody takes this. One serving of Liquid IV provides the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water alone. And it contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. And what makes it so effective is what they call CTT, cellular transport technology. And the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium delivers water nutrients into the bloodstream. Doesn't sound great, Gio? You're hydrating. You can boost your immunity. They have different...
I heard him on the show. He crushed. He's a great guest. And I really liked how he explained the product. And the way he described it, it's the next best thing to an actual IV. It's cheaper. It's less invasive. If you can't get an actual IV, well, the next best thing, it's this. And if you want an alternative to like a Gatorade or another sports drink, this is what you want.
Yeah, and check it out. It's available at Target, Whole Foods, Costco, and you can get 25% off if you just order online, liquidiv.com, and use the code ADAM at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order if you use a promo code ADAM at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com. Promo code ADAM. Find them nationwide, Target, Whole Foods, Costco as well. All right, let's get another clip going, Gio. Now, there's a lot of debate. First off, Jay Leno's Garage returned this week. Adam Carolla's episode was the very first one. And another one that people are talking about is Norm MacDonald is on Jay Leno's Garage, where Jay is teaching Norm to drive. And everyone in the Carolla sphere is going nuts because this is an idea that Adam presented a while back.
Indeed, there's some debate. Christine at Rad Bunny on Twitter contacted me wanting to know if I can find the initial conversation where Adam talks about teaching Norm how to drive Carolla Classics. Now, I remember Norm and his difficulty being booked because he didn't drive being an issue on the morning show. And I also remember it coming up on his podcast appearances. And I think I've narrowed it down to this episode. We may have to do more investigating, but I think this is the very one. Adam Carolla Show 721, Norm MacDonald. This is from December 2011, Norm Can't Drive, and it's a request from Twitter to settle a fan debate. Let's see if we can help.
Norm, let's talk about you for a second. I want to get to the bottom of Norm, in a complimentary way. Everyone's a big fan of Norm. Everyone always says, why can't you get Norm on this show? Everyone says, you and Norm are the greatest together, even though we can't tell you apart. Maybe that's what we like about it.
That seems like a bad team.
But Norm's a little bit...
It seems like it would be the worst team. It's like, okay, let's cast these two guys together. They're similar.
They're exactly the same. Yeah.
We'll pay them each.
Norm is a little bit reclusive. Yes, Norm?
Yeah. I don't drive, so I'm living in Los Angeles, so my world is small.
Why living in Los Angeles and not driving?
Because when you become
an
old man,
not smoking, it just doesn't make sense to me.
When you become an old man, you get afraid of learning new things. So I never learned when I was young because I didn't have money that I ever thought I'd own a car.
But how about this? How about somebody teaches you how to drive, and then the world just
opens
up?
When's the last time you learned something new?
Hey, you're talking to a guy who did Dancing with the Stars.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
But you know, if you're dancing with the stars and you make a mistake, you won't crash and a piece of glass won't go through your cheek.
You're not going to plow through a farmer's market in Santa Monica and take out 80 people.
Well, I'm not worried about the 80 people, but
you're
worried about the broken ribs and the coughing up blood.
Wait a minute.
Suffocating on my own blood is something that
hold on a second.
Dancing with the Stars didn't involve.
Well, let me explain something. First off, you're going to drive a car with airbags and seat belts and crumple zones. You get a nice, normal car. You learn to drive it.
What happened to the ones...
15-and-a-half-year-old chicks can drive a car,
I know that. I almost thought that I'd get the one that parallel parked by itself, but I guess they don't sell that anymore or something. Did that not work out?
It's getting... There was, a Lexus that would do it yourself.
Yeah,
that was...
You could see horrible mistakes being made.
Well, that was all part of my apocalyptic future called Navageddon, where the satellite turned on everybody. So you're driving the Lexus, it parks itself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the rogue satellite, it gets a virus, a space virus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're just going to drive over to Adam Carolla's podcast, yeah, and you start trying to get off the 5 freeway, and you see the doors lock,
yeah,
automatically, and the steering wheel you start fighting with, and then the cruise control jumps,
yeah,
in, and you can't override it.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're heading for the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just going to throw all
Navageddon?
The cars. All
this
the cars are going in, but guess what?
Clive Owen would sign up for that.
Bruce Willis drives a Jeep.
Bruce Willis already cast? Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's all but done. I haven't spoke to Bruce yet. I like when people have done the, I reached out to Bruce. Yeah, I know, except for he never saw it, and he's never going to know. Yeah, we reached out to him. I've reached out to Bruce. He drives an old Willie's Jeep.
Yeah.
And he's old school.
No GPS.
Yeah, no GPS, but somebody's got to go up there and take that satellite down.
Yeah, I see.
And that's
he's old-timey. He's against the guys in the white suits.
Yeah, he doesn't drive.
Yeah.
He doesn't drive that way. Everyone else is being flung into the Grand Canyon.
It's interesting. I was locked into there is Bruce.
Yeah. Let's put him in a 63 Vette convertible red. 4-speed. Yeah. 327 small block. Yeah. Anyway, no self-parking, no self-door locks, no cruise control, no Navageddon for Bruce.
Navageddon.
You know, the first half is everyone calling him old man, making fun of him for driving that old car. And he says, I like the way the stick shift feels in my hand, you know. And they're like, are you kidding? My car drives itself to work.
Right.
I can shave.
Yeah.
I can do stuff on my iPad.
Yeah.
I don't even have to focus.
And then people are locked in their cars and screaming and everything.
Yeah.
And he's looking at a compass.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And he's putting his finger out. He's licking his finger and putting it out of the car.
Yeah, he even does it over. He pulls off some grass and lets it fall into the wind to find out which way the wind's blowing.
You want to hear a great joke Bob Hope did at the Bob
Hope? Is this
Hope?
His best joke?
It's the funniest thing I ever saw him do.
All right.
He was at the Bob Hope golf tournament, and he picked up some grass, and he threw it up in the air, and it floated a little. And he said, Caddy, give me my sweater.
Except for the caddy wrote him that joke, I bet.
Of course.
But still, that's funny.
Of course.
All right, let's get back to Norm MacDonald. So, Norm, you start off in Canada at what age? When does the comedy you start off at zero? Yeah, it actually makes sense. And then when does the comedy bug bite Norm MacDonald?
It didn't really. I mean, because when I was young, I didn't think there was... Because in Canada, there's nothing except hockey. And then...
Did you play hockey?
Yeah. But
you can skate.
I can skate.
You can skate backwards?
Sure.
You can do that thing where you go and make that spray.
Yeah,
that.
Sure.
But you can't drive.
Can you do the fancy backwards where you make one leg cross over the other one?
Yeah, you can do that.
But you can't
every
drive.
Guy can do that.
You can't drive a car.
No.
But you can skate backwards at speed.
When you're three.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad thing about it is you don't learn any other sports.
Just hockey.
So you try to learn something when you're old, it's hard.
No, we get that theme.
What?
We get that theme in your life.
Well, I
could teach you to drive, Norm. Norm, here's my contention.
But you drive fast cars. Do you have any slow cars where you don't press?
Let's...
Where you don't press the gas a little bit, and then all of a sudden...
I'd like to help you, Norm.
You're racing a man? Like, I don't want to be in the position where I'm at the red light, and then I hit the thing, and I look over, and there's a guy, black guy probably. It doesn't matter what color he is.
No.
He feels I'm in a race with him.
Right, a race war, so
because
to speak.
a race war.
Right. Well, he was blacked 5 minutes ago. Norm... I think you would not...
Because I say black because this happened to me 8 days ago. I was driving down the street.
You were driving?
Giant,
you were
I
driving?
Mean, I was in the passenger seat. And a giant, the biggest car truck you've ever seen. You would know what it is because you're into cars. Mm-hmm. The ones that's almost a truck. It's a big SUV, but the tires are so giant, it's 6 feet taller than you. And I looked out, and looking down at me, it's odd when you are terrified by a celebrity, a rich celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
But this was Suge Knight.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Most rich celebrities are targets.
Right.
You figure, hey, I'd beat that guy up.
He's the arrow.
He scares you.
Well, to be fair, he's a celebrity because he beats people up and intimidates people, and he's so massive, and he was in jail and all that kind of
stuff. And he was, the place I used to live, when he got out, they had a big, giant They had a giant...
Oh, look, there he is. Giant truck.
Yes.
You rarely see black guys alter the rims on their vehicles. This is interesting.
That truck.
Uh-huh. So...
But when he got out, across from where I used to live, there was a big giant billboard saying, "Welcome back, Shug."
Oh, yeah. Like on Wilshire or something?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Wilshire and La Cienega.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where I used to live, right near where...
Mm-hmm.
Where Suge Knight had
I don't want to burst your bubble, but that was a French guy named Serge. You just mispronounced it.
A lot of guys, like a lot of white guys, if they go to prison, it's pretty well over for them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, a lot of white guys, when they become rich and successful, they give up being a pimp.
Yeah.
Or carrying firearms, anything that's illegal. Yeah. They go, "Well, I got $50 million. I may as well play it safe now."
Yeah, it's interesting. Tim Allen sort of lived down the part where he was dealing coke.
Yes,
once
amazing.
He got because into the remember, Santa Claus, it came, right?
But it was before he did the sitcom. It came out.
Yeah,
right
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But Tim Allen didn't walk around going, "Who needs some blow? I'm a player."
Right.
He sort of somebody said, "Put on this flannel shirt. Right. Let's not talk about the kilos of cocaine you were caught with in the 70s. Let's live that down."
I think Snoop still says he's a pimp. Like, is still a pimp as well as a
you know what it's
mogul.
Like. It's interesting because for the brothers you get street cred, and for Whitey we're somewhere between scared and amused. You know, where we just kind of laugh it off, but no one's going to get involved.
I'd be a bad pimp. Like, you be my girl.
All right.
You two be my girls.
Yeah. All right.
I'll
you
be
a pimp.
Okay, listen, girls, I got to talk to you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Hey, Sir Magic Norm.
Listen, I don't like... you guys have had attitude against me.
Well, what? I just feel like you've been taking a lot of our money.
A lot of you have not been paying me.
What?
Hmm?
You know I have the knife. I know you guys have never seen it, but I'm the ones that found you at the bus stop and let you sleep on my couch.
Yeah, that wasn't much of an upgrade. Especially
like
your constant raping.
Futon.
Yeah.
Listen,
I've had a good night
that
of
was part of the deal. I thought that was the unspoken... But anyways, I want some of the money. Look, it doesn't have to be 90-10.
I don't know.
I understand the 90-10 was a little usurious on my part. But have a 50-50. You get to sleep here.
Cheryl, what do you think? I don't think so.
I don't know. It's I have.
You know I really have a knife.
The cost of living for prostitutes
I'm starting to think you guys don't believe I have the knife.
I haven't seen your knife.
But you've heard stories.
Well, only from you.
That I cut that girl? That's a true story. I wasn't making that up.
I talked to Cindy.
Oh, you know since you've met Cindy?
Yeah, she said
she's
never,
a liar.
She said you never cut her.
She's
she
a
said
liar.
She got in a car accident. That's where the scar came from.
Yeah, she said you talked about the knife all the time, but she never saw the knife.
I could buy
a
knife.
That's what she said you said to her.
Yeah, I could buy a knife. Easy. I know people.
Oh, well, now you got to buy a knife?
I know people.
Hold on. You said you had a knife. You have a knife, but it's in a catalog?
I know people that could get me a knife illegally.
Well,
that couldn't even be traced. I'd stab you.
But it's like me saying I have a swimming pool, but it's at someone else's condo.
What, you used to be afraid of me.
I'm not. Well, you don't even have a knife. You just said you could buy a knife.
You used to be so afraid of me when I threatened you.
You know, you said you'd beat me with a car antenna, but you don't even have a car. You drive a Geo Metro. That's not a pimp car.
You want to go to a bad guy?
I thought you were badass.
I've never hurt you.
But listen,
I've protected you from
my
everybody.
My stepfather beat me. And
I've protected you. Haven't I protected you? Except for the two times. For the two times.
All right.
And those guys were big.
All right, but you promised to beat me, and that's why I was attracted to you, because of the history I have with my stepfather.
I know,
and the physical abuse.
I get uncomfortable, but I push you.
Yeah,
you're
pushing. You pulling lint off my sweater's not a push.
I said the other night that your lasagna was undercooked.
Yeah, I know, but that's because I gave you a middle piece. When I gave you an end piece, you said it was delectable.
And that thing you do where you lick your finger to wipe the stains off our faces, we don't like that.
Yeah, we don't like the smudge thing.
I've become too close.
Look, we didn't get into this not to be beaten or threatened or to keep 90% of our booty.
How often do I mention the knife?
All right, and you reminding us to use condoms and to say thank you.
And you telling us we don't have to do what we don't want to do.
Yeah.
It's not helping our business.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to do any of this stuff. Listen, unless the guy's big, I'll protect you guys. If I can take the guy.
Remember when you invited us to stay?
I'm not
going to
stab a guy.
With your knife?
I'm not going to stab a guy.
Well, you invited us to stay at your...
Sometimes he's just doing weird stuff, but it's not that weird.
But let me say this. You working out of your mom's house is awkward. for both of us, okay?
Yeah.
And sure, she's a delight, and she makes a great
and
rum
nobody's
pudding.
Nobody's mentioned anything, right? This is a complete secret.
Well, your mom, I mean, look, let's first off, you wearing Dockers and flip-flops is no outfit for a pimp. We're going to have to get you, like, made over. You drive a Geo Metro. You keep threatening your pimp hand, but you never laid a hand on either one of us. You're not verbally abusive. You're not physically abusive. I laid, by the way, the first two nights I spent on your mom's sofa. I slept with no underpants on presenting. I wasn't raped once. You came by two times. You offered me milk when you went to the kitchen. And then another time you offered me Postum. I don't even know what that is. You're just a bad pimp. Thank you.
The bad
and scene.
Pimp.
And scene. Thank you.
This is about the most interesting reenactment I have ever been a part of in my life.
You know what made me think of you know what I started thinking of, Norm, when you're talking about like
it's
the
classic radio.
The brothers arguing over like where how bad their neighborhood was, and then the other one would out the other one by saying, "Hey, you grew up in Brentwood, man." And the guy's like, "I lived in an apartment." Like that to keep going about how shitty their neighborhood is. If you go you know, it's funny. If you go to an old diner and you see the pictures of the old celebrities, now if a celebrity smokes, they have to go out to the back of the auditorium and like have someone hold their jacket up and sort of, you know, pretend. And so no one gets a picture of them smoking.
Yeah.
Back in the old days when they took pictures of celebrities, they would just hand them a cigarette. Like there's pictures of Shirley Temple just holding a cigarette. Like they all had cigarettes. It didn't matter who they were. And I'm sure some of them smoked, but not all of them.
Oh, I see. Just to make them look glamorous.
So they would actually hand them a cigarette. Versus now, if a guy did smoke, they would always tell him, put that cigarette out before he took the picture.
They would do the ads. It would be like, William Bendix likes
that's
Chesterfields.
Exactly who I was going to say.
And that was Norm MacDonald hanging out with Adam. And Adam pitching an idea about teaching him how to drive.
If that doesn't settle the debate, we'll come back to it. But for another day.
Yeah, for another day. Look, we still have like 40 Cobra clips left, right?
Wow, there's so many.
Yeah. All right, we have one more clip for everybody for this particular episode. And this is a request from Paul. He hit up G on Facebook wondering if he could hear the time he called in.
Yeah, he found something in his garden. It was an episode of Brad Williams, G and Grad, and Brian Bishop, Adam Carolla Show 2362, July of 2018. It goes a little something like this. Here's your call, Paul.
The other part is someone's putting something up your ass, but I got to tell you, you're just out. And when you come back, it's not in your ass anymore. And whether it's getting something put up your ass or your ears pierced or someone's drawing a dick on your forehead, which the guy did, I shouldn't have fallen asleep with a Sharpie sticking out of my ass. But I thought that was a funny joke.
Sure.
But you don't know it. And now you have to deal with the psychology of this 50-something-year-old heterosexual male who looks at 1,000 assholes a year and go, well, now it's going to be 1,001.
Right.
Yeah. And that's about it.
So you didn't try to do anything to make it special for him. You didn't draw a picture on your ass. You didn't put one of those magician's handkerchiefs up there where you just like keep pulling it out.
The infinite handkerchief.
Yeah, maybe like a slide whistle.
We did find this dove.
I did.
It's been dead for weeks.
I did follow the instructions very closely because it is that it is the time when you cannot cheat.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to it. So everyone do it. And they found stuff. And Drew said, you know, hey, that's the kind of thing. If you let it go, a couple more years could have turned into something pretty nasty. So go out and take care of yourself. And it's really no big deal. And I guess it's covered by insurance. Anyway.
Does it hurt right now?
No. Okay. There's no pain on the way in, no pain on the way out, and no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, so, the gay community should hire you as a recruiter. No pain on the way in, no pain on the way out. Just try it.
I'd often been approached by the gay community to work as a recruiting.
We cut to the meeting of the gay community. Guys, we need a new recruiter. Who's it going to be?
Who would they least expect?
Neil Patrick Harris? I mean, he's a constant perennial, you know, contender. He's always up there.
Let's
Cohen. No,
hear me out.
Let's go over the minutes from the last. Let's go over the minutes from the last meeting. All right, pumping in Ricky Martin to ever every colonoscopy center.
Check and check.
Done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're ahead of schedule on that one.
God, I'd love to go. We're going to have Max Pat write it down. We're going to have to send somebody in there. I got to run their phone and tell them just to stand there like a potted plant. We'll see what they're playing. Because I get it. It's 3 30-year-old Latina chicks who are in the front office, and that's what they want to listen to. But again, I would argue, let's just say during my free time, I love hearing translated speeches of Mussolini. That's what I love. But
how many times have we heard that one?
I'm at work.
Yeah.
I'm at work, so I don't get to just pump in what I want to hear into the lobby of the tire balancing place that I manage. Sure. We have to play some Kenny G because somebody in management has decided this is a better song selection or better audible selection, right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, that's me. Or I could get Mackenzie Phillips' autobiography on tape and just pump that in there, and we could talk about having adult consensual sex with
siblings,
Papa
daughters.
John, or whatever his name was.
But
Papa John.
Was it? No, not Papa John. It was the Mamas and the Papas. Come on, Dawson. Quick. Who was that? It was Papa. Not Mama Cass Elliot and Papa.
It wasn't a Papa. He had a name. Hold on.
Yeah, but he had a. Well, I know Papa wasn't. That's why I said
he
Cass.
He had a name.
I said Mama Cass Elliot. Yeah,
how dare you disrespect the man who had sex with his own daughter, Adam Carolla? He has a name.
consensual. But so that's what I like listening to. Sure. So should I just pump that
John
into the lobby?
John Phillips.
Oh, right.
His name was not Papa John Phillips is what I was saying. I thought you were asking
for a Papa guy.
No.
Who is the Papa?
There is no Papa. It's just the Mamas and the Papas, right?
No, they call him Papa John.
They call him Mama Cass.
Yeah, they call him Papa John.
John, Denny, Cass, and Michelle.
Yeah, well, you can look it up.
It's in the lyrics of one of the songs, right?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm almost never wrong, and Dawson's almost never right. So based on that just alone, I might go with Papa John
Phillips.
I'm not
a huge Mama's Papa's fan.
That should just be your argument for everything.
Well, I'm just playing the odds. Look, if it was Nick Santora sitting there, I wouldn't play this. I wouldn't get into that poker game.
I love the high regard you hold me in.
Well, Dawson, you're willing to speak with authority about stuff you don't know. There's many people that have that. Mike August does
that.
My wife will occasionally do that. I know people, Max Apat will do it. A lot of people will speak with
everyone willing.
My buddy Ray would say everything all the time. Yeah. There's certain people who are willing to speak with authority about stuff they don't know. Then there's other people who go, I don't know, let me check.
I would argue that after 25 years in classic rock radio, I might know something about the bands we played.
I agree, but Papa John Phillips sounds pretty darn familiar to me.
I'd always heard it that way.
And Brian's always heard it that way. So somebody
I can't say definitively. I just heard that.
I don't know what it says on the driver's license.
Simply according to Wikipedia, there is mention of Mama Cass Elliott and John Phillips. Nowhere in here does it say Papa John Phillips.
All right, but now type in Papa John Phillips, and we'll see if something comes up. Max Ben, enjoy yourself. All right, let me tell you about... anyway, I like her book on cassette.
Yeah.
Especially the part where she was having consensual sex with possibly Papa John Phillips. And I'd like to pump that into the... place that I manage.
Absolutely.
The TGI Fridays that I manage at the airport.
Yeah, I feel like it would be frowned upon.
Okay, I found it.
All right, what did you find?
Also known as Papa John.
All right, that's why.
Good job.
I always bet on white. MedMen. MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry, premium shopping experience. And by the way, also the ability to double down when there's a coin being tossed in the air. That's another... unique quality, Dawson. I'm saying throw yourself into a buoyant position. I know many people who do this. I know many successful people. Jimmy does this. Nate, who makes all the movies, does it. There's certain people that have, that's who they are.
I'm just saying that in my 25 years, I've never heard that.
No, you said that's not his name. That's what you said at the beginning. And that's the genius on the other side of the glass is saying that's what he thinks. Max Pat, what's my batting average when I say that's what I think?
You're batting 1,000.
No. But I'm nine. So
today.
All right. So just wait. That's all. MedMen. It's a better life. Well, now with the advent of the computer, you have to go there.
Yeah.
I remember back in the old days, you could just scream liar in someone's face and leave the room. And no one would ever go to the library and look it up or whatever.
Get your microfiche.
Everyone's smartphone is able to suss these things out pretty quickly. All right, MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry. Premium shopping experience. There's something for everybody over there. And they got lotions and edibles and bath bombs and more. Gina Grad, what do you got?
Well, first of all, there's no better way to listen to the mamas and the papas without it. Must visit MedMen first. A state-of-the-art facility, clean, helpful, nice people, an insane array of everything you could possibly want and things you didn't even know you wanted. Go there, talk to them. They're wonderful.
Also, the highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. They're beautifully well-lit stores. Lots of glass. They look like a Apple store. Yeah. Check it out. One of their 8 locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, or Vegas. And you can visit them at MedMen.com or find the store nearest you. How about it, Dawson?
Visit MedMen and tell them the Adam Carolla podcast is where you heard it. For $10 off your order, check out MedMen today.
All right. Now, let's see. So we got Drew. We got the game to play, right? We're going to play Will Bryan Eat It.
And I requested to come in on this day.
Yeah.
I wanted to, because I've heard this game. I listened to the show. I sit there in my car dumbfounded.
It is crazy.
You got to see it in person.
Yeah.
Is there a theme to this week?
Oh yeah, it's Fourth of July? Summer barbecue. Oh, nice. We just had the Fourth of July yesterday.
And he...
We're all going to be pissed.
I'm going to throw something.
He is like some Russian agent that's gone rogue in terms of he is off the grid. There's no pattern. Yeah. There's no paper trail. There's no way to figure anything out.
Yeah.
He's a knuckleball.
You cannot base anything on anything. He is a knuckleball.
Well done.
All right. So we'll bring Brian in and we'll do that. Brian from the other shop. Paul, 44, Minnesota. Paul.
Hey. Hey, Adam, Gina. Bald guy, short guy?
What's going on?
Everybody.
Hey, got everybody.
Say, reason I was calling was we had a big windstorm here where I live this morning, and then I came home from work at noon today because the cable guy was coming, and he actually called and showed up early. So I didn't want to leave him alone. I'm a cabinet maker, so I don't like to follow people around. So I went outside, and I was messing around in my garden, and I looked down, and I saw it looked like CDs laying everywhere. And I took a closer look, and here it was all porno DVDs.
Mm.
Tons of them. There was probably 50 of them.
Manna from heaven.
I'm maybe exaggerating. There was probably 25 of them.
All right. And the wind blew them into your yard?
Well, that's what I kind of assumed. But then
a big windstorm.
I called my neighbor guy over. He was outside working on his motorcycle or whatever. I said, hey, come over here. Look at this. Look at all this porno. And he goes, wow, I don't know how this got here. And whatever, blah, 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 and this and that. And finally he fessed up that he said it was his.
Did you?
And he hid it because he's a 50-some-year-old guy. He lives with his mom or whatever. You know, he's kind of like a Ray type of person.
Paul, are you 44 or 144?
Ray type of person. I love that.
And he just strewn it about your lawn?
I said, I bet I could get a bunch. Excuse me?
Did he just sort of scatter it around your lawn?
I guess the wind did.
The wind did.
No, what happened was... What happened was that he lives with his mother, and she's like all religious and stuff. And so he tried to hide it, so he hid all his porno collection out in my garden. And then wind came in and knocked over a big barrel that he had hid in, and they were laying everywhere.
I was hoping this was
should give them back or if I should sell them.
Well, I want to know the names of some of these to make sure you're on the up and up.
I wish I could remember some of them.
Do you have them?
Like, you would imagine.
Where are they?
It was like
big. Hold on. I want to know if he can, deliver these. Yeah.
Sure.
It's important.
Keeps the porn in a barrel outside.
On the neighbor's garden.
Is he hiding it from mom or playing the most inappropriate kids game ever devised? bobbing for porn. Which is fantastic in an adults-only setting. Yeah, but if you're going to invite kids to that birthday party. Paul, are you at work? Oh, you work at home. You work out of your garage?
No. I had to take off work early today because the cable guy was coming.
I see.
So he was here to see it, too. He laughed his butt off. Yeah. But the reason the barrels are there is I use them for planters. I plant like tomatoes and peppers and all kinds of stuff in there.
Yeah. Okay. So where's the corn now?
I picked it all up and I put it in a bag, but I don't know if I should give it back to them or if I should sell it because
is the bag somewhere near you?
No, it's not.
I'm guessing the phone is bolted to the wall of the kitchen you're in. And you can't get to the back. Hey, what kind of cabinets do you make?
The shop I work for does a little bit of everything, but I do the specialty work, so I mostly do commercial stuff, and I make like Murphy beds and reception desks, and do a lot of radio stuff and things like that.
I have a Murphy bed in my house.
Radius work is the hardest to do, right, Paul? So you must be good.
I know the difference between a dado and a rabbit.
All right.
Now I'm really getting interested.
Using uppercase letters, what is the difference? Describe to my listeners the difference between a dado and a rabbit using uppercase letters.
A dado would be a U with a flat bottom, and a rabbit would be an L.
That is correct.
And his story checks out.
Between a style and a rail.
Well, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Paul, are you a big Mamas and the Papas fan?
I like my mama. My dad sucks, though.
Yeah.
Good answer.
He's more of a Mamas than a Papas, it sounds
like. He's a Mamas boy?
Yeah.
John, I asked this earlier in the day to a Finnish carpenter. I don't know if you're Finnish, but if you're doing the inside of a corner and you're putting some baseboard down, you go with 245s or a coping joint?
I cope them.
Okay. He knows what he's doing.
Those 45s, they always come apart and they don't look good. You don't want to miter them. You need to cope those.
All right.
Gene and I were having this conversation right before we went on air.
It's crazy.
This is really ironic.
It's like you guys were there.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you got away from porn to talk about that.
If you guys want to know what a coping joint is.
Boy, do we.
Yep. All right. Picture. I knew you. Look, I knew everyone was thinking it, and I've just had the guts to say
it. The instincts of a
podcast. That's
now,
why it's your show.
Was this on your? Was this in your fortune cookie last night? Like, spread the word to the coping joint.
I was thinking about it because it's something that somebody taught me many years ago carpenter. I used to do well. There's people who are into home improvement. You're going to put some baseboard down. All right, and. You're doing the inside corner, and if you're doing the inside corner, you'd do a 45 and a 45 on each side, and you'd make them meet for a 90.
Okay.
But maybe those walls are a little out of whack. Maybe it's not an exact
perfect
90 situation, and the gap's a little weird. The way the guys should do it that are really good, they run the first piece all the way to one wall, just straight cut, just boom, right to all the way. The next one... Now picture this.
Okay.
Everyone's got to picture this. You take your molding with whatever design it has carved into it, or whatever the grooves and the whatever. You put it on your saw. You turn it to the right, let's say, and you go 45. You make your cut. So now you're looking at it. But when you're looking at it, you're looking at the profile of the shape. You can take your pencil and kind of drag it around that thing. Then you get a coping saw. It's one of those things that looks like a big coat hanger with this super skinny blade. And you cut it out to the shape so that when it meets the other side, it drops perfectly into the shape, every contour and everything. And it's a better looking. Yeah. Although you're showing base shoe, which is not exactly what I'm talking about.
No, I mean, you can see in the corner,
but you can see how it works.
Sure.
Yes. That's the cope versus the other one, the miter joint. Yes.
Hey, question, now that we're on this.
yeah.
You let me handle the music around here.
He's got a miter saw and some T111 siding. He's going to do a coping joint, but should he do a 90? The 90's made by 245 split in half. God, is there a crazier song to pump into a lobby?
No.
Okay. Of a colonoscopy center.
Sorry for doing your job.
All right. Now listen. The thing about porn, I have the same thing with porn as I do with Cuban refugees. If they can get get 1 foot on the terra firma, they're in. If they can get off that raft, if that porn touches my lawn,
your porn,
I own it. Yeah. I don't care if a guy's carrying a handful of porn and somebody pushes him, and if it makes it onto my lawn,
that's your porn.
Now we can do that thing you do with the Cuban boat people. We have to go, or the Haiti boat people, where we get my guards out there and they wrestle and they argue and they fight in the waist high water. Right. But once the porn makes it to the shore, and that's my lawn, then I own this porn, becomes a citizen of my home.
As far as you were concerned, that porn was seeking asylum with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You would give it the rights that it deserves.
Mm-hmm. I am. They've come to my home for a better life, obviously, and I will show them that life.
And that was the Paul call back in 2018. That'll do for Corolla Classics. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, so make sure to subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast, to get the Sunday episodes. And we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by Geico. Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more, and Geico would just like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Gio, what do you like people sharing?
Well, I don't like people commenting on my haircut fails. I was just sharing it and trying to show people how good my hair was.
And I
like people sharing their policies with Geico.
That's right. And now it's Geico's turn to share, too, with the Geico Give Back. That's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. And because Geico's committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. So visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.